I think the only trait that's required and what I really see in you, Cam, is that you're just very open. You're just very curious. You don't have judgment. You're non-judgmental. Like I say the craziest shit to you and you're just like, okay, yeah, got it. That's your experience. Like you don't try and, you know, you don't question me. You basically like accept what I'm saying as the truth of my experience, right? And so I think the core trait that people could kind of reorient themselves to look for or kind of like be open to is just openness and curiosity and having a flexible mind.
Welcome to the show. My name is Emily Green, otherwise known as Emily the Medium. This show is a space for spiritual seekers to explore all of the topics they're craving to hear more about. We'll cover things like spirit babies, conscious conception, spiritual awakening, the age of Aquarius, developing psychic abilities, 5D consciousness, and so much more. Let's dive in.
Hello, Cameron Lancaster. Welcome back to Emily the Medium podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It was exciting.
It's been a while since you've been here.
How long has it been?
It's been...
Have I been on before?
Yes, you have. I think it's been actually 3 years, like because I think you were on maybe early 2021.
Wow, that shows how bad my memory is.
But you don't remember even being on the podcast?
No, I don't.
You really don't?
No, I don't. Oh my God. Sorry. But we're here now, so.
I'm glad it was so not memorable for you.
No, it's just, you know me, it's just my memory.
No, it was called, I remember the episode, it was called When a Visionary and a Medium Get Married. Yeah, or maybe it was the year that we got married. Maybe it was 2020.
Yeah, okay, and it's a faint, distant memory.
Okay. What other things about our conversations do you not remember in the past?
Well, that's not the purpose of today. We'll visit that another time.
Okay. Oh, are you redirecting the conversation?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, got it.
Leaving the
All plate. Right. Well, I'm happy to have you here. Thanks for coming. We're recording this on a Sunday evening. Our brains are not very fresh. We're both tired, but
we wrestled our dog for an hour trying to get his toe taped up because he hurt his toe.
He broke his poor little toe. So it's been a whole ordeal. But listen, the reason I wanted to have you back on the podcast is because everybody was asking me to have another conversation with you, and everybody's very curious about who you are as a person. And I'll tell you why, and we'll kind of let people on the podcast in on what happened at the beginning of this year. What happened at the beginning of this year, Cam? I didn't prep you on any of this.
No, you didn't.
I wanted you to be surprised. What happened at the beginning of this year is we were at the end of our Christmas holiday, and we were in the kitchen. And you started imitating me for all of the funny spiritual things that I say.
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to get my phone out and we're going to tape this. And I taped you like, you know, for a few minutes doing these little funny impressions of things that I say on a daily basis. And we posted it just for fun. And it kind of blew up the internet. We kind of blew it up.
Yeah, you went from, you know, you kind of became an overnight success because of my my good humor, right?
Okay. You're taking credit for it.
Yeah, a little bit.
You deserve it. It was really funny. So that's what I wanted to talk about because we got so many comments on that video of people being kind of confused because they thought that it was like actually you who was acting all those things out and not you imitating me. So I just wanted to clear that up. That video is actually Cam imitating me. That's not necessarily things that Cam says. Although, we'll get into this a bit more. He's a very spiritual person in his own way. He just, doesn't tend to say all of the funny things that I say. So anyway, we had that first video. And then we did another one where you were actually taping me that time of different things that I say. And it's become kind of like a hit. And I realized through that process that people really want that kind of like spiritual humor, you know, where we're like bringing light to the different things that go on in the household of a person like me and how my partner is like in on that and, you know, how you react and respond to it. So there's actually a question about that from someone on Instagram, but I wanted to ask you just like, what's your perspective on all this video, you know, us making it together, how you came up with it? Tell me your POV.
Well, I think, it could be to me something that people need, you know, like there's in your community, there's a lot of spiritual knowledge that's shared, a lot of teachings that are shared. And I think it's, that's a beautiful aspect of what you do. And at times it can maybe feel like, you know, messages aren't getting through, and humor can be a really good way to open people up, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of maybe take a serious, heavy subject and bring some light to it, right? And it, I mean, it still triggered some people at the end of the day, but I think humor is something that can really, like, especially, you know, with what we're all going through now, and how crazy the world is now, we can always kind of agree on laughter and agree on funny things. So I think it struck a chord with people, not because of some, you know, we didn't try and optimize the algorithm or, you know, try and do it on a, like, you know, it wasn't a really structured thing at all. It was just something, hey, this is pretty funny. You know, I feel like a lot of people would connect to this, and clearly people did, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it also, it was really connective for a lot of people where they were like, oh my gosh, that's me, you know, or I do that, or I say those things, yeah, or I'm mm-hmm. like that. And so I think it was like a lot of people were recognizing themselves in that video. But I think what was really cool, another element of it, was that there was a lot of people like seeing how you were towards me, and you're, you know, you're making these funny videos with me, and you're so like open and loving and sweet and curious and all these things. And so many people were like, oh my God, where did you find him? Like, where did you find him? I want one of him. You know, I wish that my partner was, you know, XYZ, blah, blah, blah. What's your kind of take on that of, you know, people who are maybe looking for a partner and, you know, they're hoping for their partner to be kind of open or spiritually yep. curious, or, you know, have gone through a spiritual awakening? What's your perspective on that?
I think it always ends up coming down to supporting each other, right? And like, you know, the way our relationship started, if we could take it way back, like it was a very organic thing. Like when we had met, I was an accountant and you were an optician. Like there was no golf coaching business, there was no spiritual business. There was well before that. So we had, you know, we've had some miles, right? And I think in terms of, you know, being open to what you do for a living, I mean, I think it just comes down to that level of like, you support me no matter what, I support you no matter what. And there's a lot of things about your work that I, you know, really don't understand, but I've seen enough miracles in what you do on a day-to-day basis that it's undeniable for me, right? So like, I'm kind of along for the ride, right?
Yeah.
It's not my job to really step in and have an opinion, really. It's more just my job to witness it and learn from it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I love what you're saying there, because I think that my perspective on this is that I think there's a lot of people in the spiritual community who are like looking for a partner who is super, you know, like super spiritual, super awake, super like them, you know, meditates, does all these things.
Right.
And there's a huge focus on that. And not that when we met, like I was necessarily looking for a spiritual person. I mean, we were, like you said, we were very, very different people when we met. Very different.
Totally.
Very different.
We're also kids too. You know,
you were so young.
20. You were like 19, like we were young.
Yeah, we were young.
And I think too, like, you know, I definitely have like, you know, you tell me I have spiritual gifts that I probably don't really know about, but my life, I wouldn't say is centered around spirituality. You know, my life is dominated by golf and family, and I do meditate, you know, on a pretty regular basis, but I'd say I almost meditate more for performance, if anything, right? So I think it's nice in a way that me and you have this balance where we understand what we each do, and we definitely dabble in each other's worlds, but we're not in each other's worlds. And I think that helps, right? Because if it's always, you know, two people who are in a spiritual space all the time, I think it could maybe get exhausting. Or, you know, two golfers who are always together, I think that could get exhausting too, right? So we kind of blend into each other's worlds.
Yeah, for anybody who doesn't know, by the way, if you couldn't tell by the amount of times that he has dropped the word golf, my husband is a golf coach. You'll miss it.
Yeah, I can't go like 10 minutes without having to talk about golf. So it's just my addiction.
Somebody asked you a question about that, so we'll come back to that. But what I was going to say, I don't think I finished my thought, is that I think what really works between us is that, number one, you are actually a deeply connected, spiritual, very sensitive person. You're very sensitive to energy. You're very in tune, which we'll talk more about. You're super psychic. You just, like you said, like that's not your primary focus. That's not what you're, you know, focusing your energy on all day, every day, like I am. But I think what I would say to people who are in the spiritual community who are looking for a partner who, you know, is on their wavelength is even if you don't find somebody who's quote unquote had their awakening or is super conscious or is like a deep meditator or a yogi or whatever, I think the only trait that's required and what I really see in you, Cam, is that you're just very open. You're just very curious.
Yeah.
And you don't have judgment. Like you're non-judgmental. Like I say the craziest shit to you and you're just like, okay, yeah, got it. That's your experience. Like you don't try and, you know, you don't question me. You basically like accept what I'm saying as the truth of my experience. Right. And so I think the core trait that people could kind of reorient themselves to look for or kind of like be open to is just openness and curiosity and having a flexible mind, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know where my openness came from. I think it might be to do with my upbringing and growing up in an environment that was very judgmental, right? Like everything I did was judged and, you know, there was always a metric behind failing or succeeding. And I think it repels me a little bit. Like, although I'm still a very much a performance driven person, I'm much more willing to just accept people for who they are. And who am I to, you know, kind of step in someone's way and say, you got to be this way or got to be that way. Because I was told that so many times growing up that I have to be a certain way. Mm-hmm. And it kind of makes my skin crawl a little bit.
So I love that. That's cool that you found the where you think the root of that is. I also think again, like you're a lot deeper than you think you are, than you're able to recognize. I feel like you are. Anyway.
Inflating my ego, honey. Thanks.
Okay. I tell you that all the time. I mean, I think that that's the thing though, too. Like when I was first discovering my abilities, like it took somebody outside of me to be like, hey, like you're doing that. And that's actually a trait that's related to, you know, psychic abilities or intuition or mediumship or whatever. And it took somebody outside of me being like, hey, that's what that is basically, you know? So I think it's really helpful to like reflect those things to you and be like, hey, you're actually like, you know, you've got a lot of stuff going on. So that brings me to my next point that I wanted to talk to you about on the podcast. I want you to tell everybody about the dream that you had a couple of weeks ago and what you woke up remembering, like a soul memory, the soul memory that you had when you woke up.
Yeah. So, I mean, the overall, we don't have to get too much into the details on the dream, but basically I had this dream where I'd gone away on vacation with family and Emily wasn't with me. And I was, you know, in a beautiful place, tropical place, didn't know exactly where I was, but, you know, by all means, it was like a very happy and loving vacation with family, but you know, I didn't have my partner by my side. And when I'd gotten home, that's when I woke up from the dream. And it made me realize that kind of my purpose, or I don't know if it's my overall purpose or one of my purposes in life is to be there to support Emily, to share her message to, you know, millions and millions of people, right? Because I think that's ultimately where I've seen you trending in the last, you know, call it 5 years. Your kind of sphere just continues to grow and grow and grow. And I'm not just here to kind of, you know, just simply be a passenger. I'm someone who can, you know, actually help propel you there. Right. And I think a lot of it is just the way, you know, even us chatting last night and you were kind of in more of an anxious state and we just, you know, kind of sat there for a little bit kind of gave you a space to be safe and just talk about what you were going through, because you're always holding on to people's energy for you know, all day, every day, and you never get the chance to let that go. So in little moments like that is kind of what I've started to learn more, is that me being there for you is helping you help a ton more people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you remember this, because it's interesting, because that morning, like I wrote everything down that you said, and then I asked you about it later that day, and you kind of forgot, which there's a trend here.
Well, my memory's in my Google Calendar and my email, so that's if you want me to remember it, just send it there.
Yeah, well, and then I said it to you later, and you didn't remember, but basically, you know, you were saying that you were here to be like a pillar for me, and that you came in as a soul to support me through my mission, and that you came first. You know, you were born first. You were born a year and a half before I was, and then I kind of felt, you know, since you were there, I was kind of like, oh, okay, I can do this if I'm doing it with him. And that's really what I feel like. I really feel like I can do so much of what I do in my work and be the, you know, the person that I am and share the work that I do because of you, because you are like my most grounding, regulating, like you are like super solid. You're my anchor, you know, and I'm able to do what I do because I have you, this beautiful, divine, masculine man to lead me and to guide me and to like be that pillar. And so, you know, that's what I was going to say is I think that a lot of like women that I know and friends of mine have kind of partners similar to you who are like these strong pillar type energies. So anyway, I wanted to share with the people, and because it was a really beautiful moment when you woke up and you were telling me about that dream.
Great. And yeah, it was almost like waking up from a dream where you had had that message, you know, before. It was almost like deja vu in a way, right? Like kind of things just clicked, you know?
Yeah.
It took me out of my own selfishness for sure.
Well, I
you
think
know, as anyone who's like, as any man who's driven to, you know, in their own life and their own goals, their own aspirations, you sometimes kind of need a knock on the head from the universe, say, hey, idiot, this is what you're actually here for, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I was going to say is that I totally forget what I was going to say, actually.
I'm rubbing off on you. That's all right.
I forget what I was going to say. Anyway. Oh, well, did I say this already? Just, I think that a lot of like spiritual women have these kind of men as their partners. So I think it's important. You know, I think that people who are here and they're holding a specific frequency on the planet and they're sharing their gifts and their work with the world, you know, like you said earlier, like it's beautiful work and I love it, but it's not always easy, you know?
Yeah.
And
very taxing.
Yeah, it's very taxing and it takes a lot of work for me to make sure that I'm, you know, supported and taking care of myself and my system is regulated. And as I was saying that, I remembered what I wanted to say. What I was going to say is that the reason it felt like deja vu for you, right? You said you like you had that dream and it felt like deja vu, is that's basically you kind of had like the veil of amnesia sort of temporarily dropped, right? Where you were able to kind of remember in your soul memory of like, oh yeah, this is what we agreed on. Like, this is what we came to do. Like, this is our soul contract right. together,
yeah.
right? This is what we came to have an experience of. Which we all, you know, our soul knows that, but our human self forgets those like fine details, right? Mm-hmm. So after that dream, you basically had like the veil kind of fell, right?
And yeah.
You could remember.
Yeah. And I think that's a good lesson for anyone. I'm sure a lot of times as we trudge through life, like it can feel aimless. It can almost feel pointless at times. What are we leading towards? I think there's always, it's a grander, you know, there's something grand going on that we might not be aware of, but it's happening. And I think that can give you a lot of comfort. Like, I know it gives me a lot of comfort knowing that. And even just some of the learning we've been doing about Dr. Stephen Greer recently and consciousness and, you know, what this all means. The more I'd kind of dive into spirituality and learn different concepts, less fear it gives me in life. Because you could agree with this. I'm definitely, when it comes to the whole thinking about life and death and what it all means, it gives me a lot of anxiety. I'm sure a lot of people it does. It's too big for our little human brains to manage. From my understanding, meeting you, it's been a really cool experience for the last 10 years because I was raised in a very traditional environment where, you know, if you do bad, you go to hell. If you do well, you go to heaven. Like, and I just never really... I just saw right through that message without having any answers as to why that's not the case. And, you know, since kind of just being a bystander to what you do it, and the more and more I dive into that, it just takes the fear away of what this all means.
I think that that's I think a lot of people can relate to that. And from the religious conditioning piece, like even though you are able to see through it, it doesn't necessarily mean that the, you know, basically fear porn that
yeah.
many like children were basically like beaten with, you know, every day in and day out being raised in a, you know, Catholic school
right.
type church environment, you know, doesn't necessarily erase that. And so I think like what you're describing is that you're having this kind of gradual deconditioning from the religious fear porn basically and re-remembering the truth, of who you are and what and that death actually does not exist, right? Death doesn't exist. Like, the, we can never die. We are undying. The soul continues to live on through all time and space. And we come and we have incarnations in different bodies. And then when we're complete with the body, we leave the body and we move on to our next experience, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that I think a lot of people have had to do that. I certainly had to do that. Like you, though, I always knew something wasn't right with what I was being taught in, you know, religious programming. I was like, there's something off about this, you know?
Yeah.
I still remember different like church, you know, moments I had where I was listening. And I remember the beautiful parts too. Like, I remember like being in church and like feeling this true, like deep connection to God and to the universe, and just like feeling peace and love and just being totally held. I remember the exact moment, the exact memory. But then I also remember times where I was made to feel guilty and shameful and bad about myself and, you know, and judgmental and angry and all these different things. And sad. And so I think there are like glimmers of truth within that paradigm. But I think there's a lot of, like I keep saying, fear porn and guilt porn, you know, heavy on the guilt, heavy on the guilt, heavy on the religious guilt.
I know this might sound bad to say, but like I, you know, I was very dedicated Catholic growing up. Like, I was an altar server for 5 or 6 years. I never really felt a connection at all. Like, I just kind of felt like it was a big social club, and deep down, like it gave my, you know, it gave my parents a lot of peace, I would say. And then I'm happy for them that they have something that gives them that sense of peace. But I just never felt that connection to God. Yeah. I understood that the, you know, the message in the Bible was something that was very holy, and, but it almost felt like everyone was, you know, misinterpreting what it actually all meant, you know, and things. Like, going to church every week, it felt like more just something you do out of your routine, as opposed to actually taking that time to connect with a higher power.
I found that too. And I remember that as well. Like, I think it all depends on the church too. Like, we're definitely not knocking on church and going to church. I know a lot of people find a lot of beauty and a lot of connection and a lot of like spiritual connection in their church experience. Just, you know, it sounds like it wasn't your experience. It wasn't always my experience. Mostly not. The experiences of like true connection are very few and far between in comparison to the other experiences that I had. But I agree. I remember thinking that too, of just like, it just felt like autopilot. Like, it's just like, there's no, it just felt like a regurgitation of, there was no soul, you know? I remember like feeling there was no soul in church for me.
Yeah. Well,
most of the time.
Like, I went from the ages of, as early as I can remember, from age 5 to like 15, we pretty much went every weekend, never missed every week of the year. And I can remember like, oh, April is rolling around. These are the masses that we're going to have. And then you can kind of remember the cadence. And then, you know, it just felt repetitive, right? But again, I looked around and I saw people seeming to have a very deep connection, you know, dedicated prayer. And for that, you know, I can say, hey, you know, that's nice that they had that. I just didn't feel that myself.
Yeah.
Right.
Have you found more fulfillment and enlightenment and connection in your spiritual discovery over, you know, your church time?
Definitely. Yeah. I'd say more of an understanding of things, how things actually flow. I think that, you know, for me, the Catholic experience was so bad that, I don't mean to knock on religion. It's just what my own beliefs, that it made me not believe in anything for years.
Right.
For years and years and years, right? Where, like, probably from the ages of like 15 to 25, even when you started doing your work, I'm like, no, it's just like, you know, the light shut off. That's my, you know, my existence, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to get on with it. I'm just going to start, living, and I'll focus so much on life. That I'm not going to think about, that stuff when I'm old, you know, but it kind of hits you right in the stomach, spiritual side of things.
When do you think that shift happened? Can you pinpoint the moment that happened for you?
I really can't say it like a certain time. I think, you know, when I started like, part of it was when I started really meditating, and oddly enough, it's funny, I'm kind of bashing Catholicism, but when I started meditating, I started seeing visions of Ram Dass and Jesus. I remember I talked to you about that quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, it just felt like they were kind of I would do a certain meditation. It was like a guided Ram Dass meditation. And it would just be, you know, after like 5 to 7 minutes of doing it, I would get Jesus staring back at me or Ram Dass staring back at me. And it was a very kind of a piercing stare. And they never had said anything to me during those meditations, but it was very clear that this was something, you know, there's something greater than this. And I think also leaning into learning, I think was a big thing too, like learning what near-death experiences and what people go through when they have a near-death experience, learning just with all the little mini miracles I've seen from you in particular, you know, just helping people going through some serious situations. I mean, I don't want to bring anything up just for client confidentiality. I don't want to, I've seen, you know, standing outside your door and you doing readings and, you know, just some of the things that you've been able to reveal to people. It's like, well, yeah, no, you know, there isn't just an experience in life where the lights turn off. There's something greater than going on here.
For sure. I think that's a very natural like experience, right? Like where we've had an experience with such as like being a part of the church. And then we realize that none of that is true for us. And I think we have to like come to that point of like the polarity of, you know, you being a self-described atheist at that time in order to discover again, after a period of time, like what is actually true for you in your own experience, in your own framework. Right. And I think that a lot of people, I mean, I had to go through that experience as well of like thinking that having a relationship with Jesus had to be exclusive to, you know, being a religious person and going to church and, you know, participating in Easter and Lent and all these things. And I think discovering my own relationship with him, with Yeshua, with Jesus outside of that context has been really beautiful. And I think that his energy is very much available for all people, you know, not just people within a religious context. You know, I think he's really, he's really present at this time right now.
Well, I think that was one of the reasons why, like, you know, kind of thinking back to those meditations that I would do where, you know, Jesus or Ram Dass would come through, they'd almost have this look on their face looking at me where kind of laughing at me in a way. Like, you know, you went through all those years of just like stuffing everything down. Like, come on. Like, you didn't, you know, and that was kind of the message that I got from there. It's like, it was almost being, you know, so hurt by the religious experience I had growing up that I'm just going to shut this off for the rest of my life and just live my life. Right. And I feel like there's maybe a lot of people out there that do that they just don't have that sort of real connected experience as a kid. And they just decide that, oh, well, religion's not for me or spirituality is not for me. And I'm just going to, you know, live a kind of a 3D existence.
Yeah. 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 It's big work. Well, thanks for telling us about your journey. Okay, should we get to some questions from Instagram now? Because I have some people who asked some questions.
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, you ready? All right, people want to know, we kind of already talked about it, but people want to know how we met. Will you tell the story?
Yeah, so we met, I was going to school, accounting school, and Emily was in optician school, different schools.
And, in different cities. Way different and cities, like 3 hours away.
Yeah, my best friend in my accounting program, he met a girl on Tinder and they ended up dating. And then she happened to be in the same program as Emily. And they kept trying to set me up with different girls, like her friends. And they were all pretty bad matches, like very bad matches. And then you came along one night. And the first night that we met, you were at some like awards dinner before,
and then we were at
downtown. That was the deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the record, you were very drunk when I met you.
Thank you.
And
you
thought that I was, I'm kind of blowing you up here a little bit.
Thank you.
I just think it's funny the way, like for the first or leading into it, cause I was doing like all these impressions when I met you, like when trying to make you laugh and make our friends laugh.
Yeah.
And you thought I was actually from England.
It
was Cameron Lancaster from Ancaster. You didn't know where Ancaster was. It's just a small little town, like a couple hours away from where you grew up. And you thought that was like in England. So
You talked with a little bit of an accent, like, and no, your friend. No, you did. But listen, it was actually very much plausible that you would be from England because your friend was from England. And so I was I was like, oh, this is his friend from England. So yeah, I definitely thought you were English. And I went home and I told my mom, I was like, I met this great guy. He's from England.
And then you get me on the phone. You're like, this guy's like, he's a fake. Like, sounds like Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we had a very instant connection off the start. Like I remember that night you had broke your phone, which you had a run of like breaking, like you broke like 3 phones within 5 months. I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't have any way of messaging you because you need to get a new phone. So I'm like, oh, she's not going to text me or call back. So that was just like a nice night, fun night with a new person. And I'm going to move on.
And it'll never go anywhere. You thought that? Yeah. Like, this will never go anywhere. Like, 100%.
Yeah. Okay. Cause like I had such a bad run of like, you know, bad luck with women in the lead up to you. And I was really wanting to date and I had just given up hope. Like it was, I think that's kind of there's a hidden message there that when you want something so bad and you just finally submit and say, hey, it's not going to happen. That's when it shows up at your doorstep. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I had given up hope too. Like a few months before I met you as well. I was like, oh, fuck this. I'm done. I'm done looking. Because I was looking, you know, I was looking and dating and I knew like, I didn't have the language at the time, but I was definitely looking for like a serious partner. You know, I didn't necessarily think I was going to be like settling down with that partner at 19 years old, but you know, the universe works in mysterious ways.
It does. Yeah.
Okay. Keep going. So
we were maybe like old souls a little bit too, where we didn't feel like that age at that time. We were done with partying. We were done with that scene. We were ready to move on to the next phase of our life. So we ended up connecting and kind of living for about a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
a long distance relationship, which we'd see each other pretty much every weekend or every second weekend. And it was just probably one of the funnest time of my life. Like we just had so much fun. We just had like our own little, you know, we still talk like to this day, like every month or so we talk about like a certain experience we had in that first year and a half and mm-hmm. all the things we did. And yeah, I still look back on those times as one of the best parts of my life. I don't know, you probably do too.
Yeah. Well, my whole life with you is the best times of my life, Cam.
I'll make it see like the last 9 years outside of that.
You're like, it was all shit. First year and a half was great, but the last 9 years of shit.
It's gone downhill. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
I know.
It's been nothing. It's been getting better and better.
But it does get better and better. And I think that's what it felt like at that time was I think we were just in like such la la land, like honeymoon phase because we were just so happy to be with each other and spend time with each other and do all these fun things. But I think that's the beautiful part of like, you know, we met young and the statistics of like people who, you know, meet young and marry young are like not great, you know, but I think that we have a lot in common and our minds work in similar ways and different in other ways. But I think that what makes it work is we're both, like you said at the beginning, like we're both just very much in support of each other and we're both open. And I think we're both growth oriented, you know, like,
yeah, we are.
I think stagnation makes us both really uncomfortable. And that means that we're always looking to, you know, innovate new ways of living and being and interacting in our relationship and in our work and in, you know, where our arrows are pointing in terms of like life purpose and our goals for the future. And I think that's what keeps it fresh and makes it work. You know, like honestly, before I met you, I would be bored with people within like 3 months. Like I'd be like, oh, this person is boring, you know? And I can honestly say like, I am never bored in our relationship. Like it's always exciting. It's always new. It always feels different, you know, every day. So that feels really.
Yeah. Well, even if you just look at what we've done in the last 10 years, you know, you've gone from being an optician. You were before that, you wanted to, I think, be a social worker, right?
Yeah. I wanted to help people.
Yeah.
I just wanted to help people.
Yeah. And you know, you started your business and you've gone through so many different evolutions in your business. You published a book, you started a podcast, your social media has blown up. You've helped so many different people and myself too. I've gone from an accountant to running a painting business with 10 employees at the age of 22, which was insane, to, you know, working in the corporate environment and sales. And now I've been doing this golf coaching for about 5 years and on the journey of that, wanting to play pro golf again and playing my first pro season last year. So it's there's been a lot of change. And I think through each big decision we've made, it just felt right, right? It, like, there was never like a, hey, Hunt, I really want to start playing, you know, professional golf. And you're like, no. So, you know, when you were, there's never, any time that you come like a big idea, and there's not like a discussion of like trying to talk you out of it, right? It's just go, you know, it's always just go for it.
Yeah. And I think I'd do that for you too.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
Yeah. I think we're just very much in support of like each other's goals and dreams, and like never, you know, like there's no like, oh, I don't know if you should do that, or could, it's like, yeah, go for it. Like, do it. You know, I believe in you. I believe in you 100%. Like, I think, mm-hmm. I know you can do it, you know?
Yeah. There's always been that belief. I agree.
Yeah.
Even like, I had no clue what you were doing at the start of your business. Like, I'm like, what is this? Like, I'm like, but if you can make money, you like, go for it. And you did. And you did it very quickly, and you proved it.
Well, and also
you're also loving doing it, right? And you were getting so much, from what my understanding, like a lot of peace in your life and a lot of healing in your life. Mm-hmm. You were kind of discovering, oh, this is who I actually am. So I'm like, well, if she's discovering who she actually is, then why would I stand in the way of that?
Right. You were like, okay, I just have to get to know this new version of her.
Yeah.
In a way.
Not even that. No, I was just happy for you.
So I am at this point in my life where I am taking a buttload of supplements. It's just where I'm at. It's what my body is asking for. As I've been speaking about on this episode, I'm really working to rebalance my body and my mineral stores and my vitality after a long period of deprivation from an eating disorder to veganism. So finding ways to support my body as it balances its equilibrium is, you know, it's just where I'm at right now. And I will not be in this season of my life forever. I won't be taking, you know, a bunch of supplements forever, but this is where I'm at. And so I found a company that, here's the thing, you get me if you're also in the same boat as me, is like taking 100 pills per day. It gets a little old after a while. And so I found this amazing company, and it is called Milk Moon. And they have the most incredible liquid supplements. So I first started taking Milk Moon's Nourishing Fertility Tonic. I was like, I'm going to give this a try. I heard about it through a friend, and I started taking it. First of all, the taste is amazing. It's sweetened with a little bit of raw honey, some cherry concentrate, some cinnamon. The taste is so good, and it has all kinds of incredible herbs that are really powerfully supportive for people on a fertility path, such as chaste tree berry, shatavari. It's got netta leaf, raspberry leaf, yellow dock root, rose hips, goji berry, so many beautiful nourishing things. I actually was talking to somebody who said that they were taking the Nourishing Fertility Tonic while they were trying to conceive, and conceived very quickly with triplets. So this person was like, you know, take with caution. So if you are on a fertility path, or you're trying to conceive, or you're calling in a baby right now or in the next few years, I highly recommend giving Milk Moon's Nourishing Fertility Tonic a try. I have actually noticed that in the 2 months that I've been taking it, my cycles, which can sometimes be a little bit irregular, they've been super regular for the last cycle that I had, which is incredible. It's already making such a difference in my cycle and its regularity and the regularity of ovulation and this sort of thing. So that's the first thing I would recommend from Milk Moon. Also, if you are postpartum or you are pregnant and you are moving towards the postpartum phase, they also have a postpartum tonic that just seems so dreamy. What a beautiful way to support your body in the postpartum phase, where your body has all kinds of new needs and replenishing minerals and nutrients and all of the things as you are rebalancing after pregnancy. So they've got postpartum tonic. I also really love their renewal tincture. It has ashwagandha, rhodiola, tulsi, milky oat, and it's really amazing for supporting your body after periods of intense stress or sickness. And this tincture has been helping me so much after taking an extended vacation and easing back into my work at the beginning of the year. It's made the transition so much easier. So if you are interested in trying Milk Moon, I will link it below, and you can use code EMILY10 at checkout to get 10% off of your order. All right, well, good answer. Somebody says that they want to know how good of a golfer you are.
I'm probably not going to say I'm that good, but I say with the progress I made in the last few years, I've gotten pretty good from where I was at. So like, I'll talk golf terms just for a second here. Like a good pro golfer would be about a plus six handicap, and I'm playing to a plus four level right now. So I'd be on the edge of like a lower tier pro. Now, every year I've kind of made improvements. Like I think five years ago, I was about a seven handicap, which is, that would be about 11 shots on average worse than where I'm at now. So, you know, going, it's been definitely a good progression. Yeah, I feel like my ceiling is pretty high. And I don't think I've even come near to the ceiling, because there's been so many things I've had to do in the last few years to become better. You know, whether changing my body, changing my habits, changing my lifestyle habits, adding new skill sets. And I just continue to add those skill sets pretty much every year. And I feel like that's where I'm trending. So, you know, I've been playing golf since I was 7 years old, pretty much 23 years now. And I think in the last few years, I've only really discovered how good I actually am, because I've really applied knowledge and discipline. What
nice.
I do.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, very curious if anybody who's listening to this podcast knows what a plus four handicap is.
Yes.
And if you do, we are impressed, and send us a message, because yeah. I want to know.
Yeah.
All right.
Handicap sounds bad. That sounds like, you know, and plus sounds worse than no number. So, but
yeah, none of it makes sense to me. Golf scoring, it's like, shouldn't like a higher score be better? No, it's a lower score. It's just like, take everything you know about scoring and throw it out the window when it comes to golf.
But yeah, golf is pretty much a game of opposites. So there you go.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Okay, moving along.
Yeah, and just for the record, we're still trying to get you to learn how to play. Like, you'll occasionally grab one of my clubs and hit a ball. And you're pretty good, but you just don't apply yourself. But again, I don't want to push you into it, because I kind of like the way we have it, where you're a little bit naive to my world, right? I feel like if you're in my world too much, you're not going to be a traditional golf wife who's just going to sit there and watch me on the sideline.
I don't think I'm a traditional anything wife.
No, sorry. No, you're definitely not.
But you like it that way, right?
I do. I mean, it's nice for me to have my space to go and do my thing, and just kind of, you know, and you understand that golf takes a crazy amount of time to get better at and to coach and, you know, just to do all of it. It's not like, you know, I'm working online from home and it's an easy existence. Like, you got to get out there on the golf course and grind at your craft to get better. But yeah, and you understand that, and that's all I really need.
Yeah, I do. All right, moving on. Somebody wants to know our zodiac information and our astrological compatibility.
Okay. If you ask me this, then you're doing a bad service for your podcast. So I'm going to give you the wheel here.
All right. Well, for anybody who's curious, Cameron is a Cancer. He was born on July 7th. He has an Aquarius moon, and he is a Libra rising. And I am a Sagittarius. I have a Gemini moon, and I have an Aries rising. So our charts are, you know, kind of like, we're definitely fire and water. I'm very fire. You're more water, air, water, air, earth. But I think we have actually a lot of compatibility. I think our moon signs are really compatible. My Gemini moon with your Aquarius moon works really well. I think that that's why our conversations are always so stimulating and interesting, and why we're never bored with each other. Yeah. I also think your Aquarius moon just like makes you more open-minded to the extrasensory, otherworldly, cosmic type things. So that's cool. Also, our rising signs are compatible. You know, they're opposites. Libra and Aries are on the polarity. Libra's Aries, you know, they are across from each other on the zodiac wheel. So we also balance each other really well, I think, in that regard. But yeah, I mean, I think it also works too, because like, you are very sensitive. You got a lot of water in your chart, and I do have a lot of fire, but I actually have quite a bit of water as well. So I think that our sort of combined like ambition and creativity and sensitivity sort of like balances each other out. We've got a lot of good synastry. We've got a lot of compatibility in our charts. Even at first glance, like Sagittarius Cancer, you'd be like, oh, maybe not. But it works. It works really well. Wouldn't you say?
It works, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know what part of it relates to the way we handle conflict, because I think any long-term relationship's going to have, you know, a considerable amount of conflict. And when we, you know, when we fight, we are like, we never go to bed angry at each other.
Never. And I mean, we wrap it up so quick. We wrap it up so quick, you know. Yeah. And I think you're really good at that. Like, that's, I think, not to like pigeonhole you too much and project onto you, but I think that like your Libra rising, you really do enjoy peace and harmony and balance, especially like in your relationships and in your home. And so I think that you really balance that. Like my Aries rising, like it wants to box, you know, it wants to box. But I think like you're like very stabilizing.
Yeah. Well, if I look upset someone, like if there's someone that I don't, if I'm not like close with, I'm going to cut them out to just get over the conflict. Or if someone close with me and there's a conflict, I'm going to basically harass them until we make up. Like that's how I operate.
Yeah.
I operate that, like, with my family members or close. I don't really fight with close friends, but any close family members, like I will bug the shit out of someone until I get like, you know,
resolved. You do not like a loose thread. You don't like it.
Which can sometimes piss people off. Like it pisses you off because you're like, just let me be angry. Like, let me be angry that you screwed up.
Like for 5 minutes, just give me five minutes and then we can move on.
No, you can't. You have to be happy with me all the time.
Okay. All right. All right. Moving on. We got to get through the rest of these questions. Let's go with this one. If you were trees, what would you be? It says answer for yourself and then each other. Let's answer for each other first.
Okay.
You go first. If I were a tree, what would I be?
I think you're like a classic maple tree.
Why?
Because you're very beautiful in the summer. And then in the winter, you fall apart.
Naked?
Yeah. Yeah. You're naked and just like help, and you need like warmth and comfort and sunshine.
It's honestly pretty true. It's pretty true. In the winter, I'm not doing great. I don't know why we still live in this cold tundra where, you know, the maple trees have to lose their leaves. But anyway, no, I think, I don't know about the maple tree thing. I always have loved birch trees. I love their bark. I love their leaves. I love that. I just think they're really beautiful. So I'm going to say
You identify with birch?
Yeah, I identify as a birch tree. Yes.
Okay. You better put that in your bio.
Yeah, I will. Okay. What kind of tree do I think you are? I think you're like a sturdy pine. You're like a pine.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah.
You're a nice, sturdy 70-foot pine. That's what I would say. Yeah. That's you.
I'll never lose my hair. That's part of it.
And yeah.
I do well. Like in the winter, like people think I will be in shorts and a t-shirt and it's snowing and I'll be hitting golf balls and working out outdoors. And
it's like minus 10.
Yeah. You got to force me to wear a winter coat. And like, that's just what I do.
Yeah, it's true.
I've done that for like 5 years straight and that doesn't get old for me.
Okay. So you would agree with my analysis that you are a pine tree?
I was going to say that. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. We're on the same page there. Well, I identify with birch tree, not a maple tree. All right. What is your favorite celebrity to follow?
Oh, that's easy.
Who?
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods. Yeah. Like, we love Tiger Woods around here. You love Tiger Woods.
Yeah. He just quit a tournament because he had the flu, allegedly. And I've been so sad all weekend because of it. Like my life revolves around Tiger Woods.
You love him.
Yes.
He is a cool dude. He's got some nice biceps too. All right.
Okay. How about you?
What about me? I don't really follow celebrities. I'm not really into like celebrity culture and worship culture.
Am I allowed to say this? The TV show you watch?
Which TV show?
You know the one.
Which one?
You're devoted to watching the Kardashians, so I feel like that'd be yours.
I don't follow any of them on Instagram, though.
Oh, okay. Following, yeah.
Yeah, I just watch it because they're kind of Like, it's just like, it's kind of a train wreck. Their life's kind of interesting. It's just like, they're always in chaos. I'm interested in why they have so much drama in their lives. And I think it's because they create that reality for themselves.
Oh yeah, that's manufactured.
That's my analysis. Well, not even manufactured. I think it's unconscious. Like, they are literally like manifesting chaos because they secretly like it or thrive in it or feel more comfortable in chaos. Right. Yeah, so. I think they just are comfortable in chaos. So I think that's very interesting. And I like to psychoanalyze them. So,
because we're not at all.
What?
Like, comfortable in chaos.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, good answers.
Thank you.
When did we know each other was the one?
Yeah, very early on, you know.
Very quick. Yeah.
Very quick, yeah. I remember. Think it was by like the time when I introduced to my parents. Like, you just felt like a member of our family.
Yeah, and that was like a month and a half after we met.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you knew I was the person you were going to marry a month and a half after we met.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like, you were talking with both my brothers like you were their sister already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there wasn't that awkward stage where we, you know, you had to feel people out and certain people didn't like you or anything. Like, you fit like a glove into my family. Like,
and
it's always been that way. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
My parents were like, oh, our adopted son is here. We've been waiting for him.
Yeah. Yeah. me and your dad are bros. Like, we... Every time we go there, it's like you and your mom don't exist and we just have our chats.
Yeah.
It's kind of bad. It's kind of, yeah. It's caused fights for sure.
Okay. So it happened pretty quick.
Yeah.
I think for me too. I mean, it was very obvious very early on. Like, oh, this is my person. Okay. This is like, this is who I was been waiting for.
And isn't it crazy to think about that? Like, if our friend swiped the other way on his Tinder match or if she did.
Yeah.
We'd never meet. Like, we actually met because of a chance on Tinder.
But that's not really,
directly.
But when you look at it from the bigger picture, it's really not. It's all orchestrated, right? Like, we orchestrated that. Our souls orchestrated that our friends would meet and they would have to get together first. And after they got together, they had to have this brilliant idea of like, Emily and Cam, they'd be so great together. We got to let them meet each other. Like, that's all orchestrated, right?
Yeah.
So
I think it's cool though.
It is cool. Okay. A few more questions. Somebody said, what is your point of view watching my spiritual awakening unfold? What was your point of view watching my spiritual awakening unfold?
Nothing surprises me with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, just some of the miracles I've seen you create. And I mean, I think also too, like, the more you lean into your work, the more peaceful you become, right? And obviously you need your grounding as you go through it, but yeah, I think those two things.
And two more questions. Tell us a few of your own mystical experiences. You already touched on one of them. Well, a couple of them actually. But any more of your own like cool spiritual mystical experiences that you want to share with the people?
I'll just share one. I had two close relatives that I lost just before the start of a relationship. Was it? Can't remember now.
No. Oh, we were together.
We were together, yeah. But it was very early on. My papa and then my uncle, and they were both kind of like dominant male forces in my life, like, you know, big time role models and people that I really looked up to, and kind of just those figures in your life that just feel like they're never going to die. And towards the end of them, you know, being sick, I didn't see them as much. And I think that was kind of like orchestrated by my family just to kind of, you know, not disappoint me. And when they had passed, I didn't really feel any specific connection to them. You know, I just felt like they were gone, right? And over time, through dreams, through little moments, like, I remember taking off, like, my uncle had this, they made this bracelet for him in his memory, and I wore the bracelet everywhere. And I think the moment I took it off, I had like a dream, and he came to me in a dream. And just, there wasn't like a very specific, he was like an absolute goofball, absolute life at the party. And it was just him pretty much just making me laugh, right? And then my papa was in a dream, same thing, and just reassuring me and telling me to look up for grandma and really just be there for her. So yeah, those were the two kind of mystical experiences I have. The only two close relatives that are on the other side, and I've been able to have a connection with them, which I think is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you were saying when we were talking about this earlier that I kind of made you feel like comfortable having those experiences too.
Yeah. But yeah. You were the catalyst for it. Like, you were like the lightning rod. I think without you, I wouldn't have had any connection at all. It would have just been a distant memory.
Sure. Yeah, well, those are called visitation dreams, and they're really special when we get those dreams with the people that have passed. And, you know, those aren't, they're really, they're not dreams. Those are actual experiences where your souls are having, you know, time together.
I agree.
In that space. But, you know, you have so many too. Like, you have way more than, you have like such a good read on people. Like, you are like a detector for like good people and, you know, people who have good intentions and who, you know.
Yeah.
You always know, like, I'll meet somebody and tell you about them. You're like, nope, don't like them. Not a fan. And then like a year later, the thing blows up and you're like, see, I told you I didn't like that person, you know, where I can sometimes like give people the benefit of the doubt a little bit more.
Yeah.
You are a freaking like alien spotter extraordinaire. We'll be out walking. Cam and I like love to skywatch. We are super into like connecting with the sky and the stars and different ships moving through the sky. And Cam is just like, has this radar where we'll be walking along, we'll be talking, and all of a sudden he'll look up and he'll be like, look up, I got something. And I'll look up and sure enough, it's right there. So you have this cool like telepathic radar of when there is cool cosmic stuff happening in the sky.
Yeah, I don't know where that comes from, but it's true. I think I always have this uncanny ability to spot things out of the sky. Anytime that we go for a walk and it's a clear night, like, you can bet that I'm going to have a sore neck by the end of it, because I'm like just scanning the sky. But it's
finding all these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's because you're a starseed, baby, just like me.
That's right, baby.
A couple of starseeds here together, having a human experience.
Yeah.
In these strange times, in these funny bodies. Okay, last question. How do you feel about being with a spiritual partner? Last question.
I think it's something for me that brings me a great deal of comfort. Like, it feels like I, you know, almost like the analogy I would use is being like a ship at sea, and you actually have a navigation system, right? And you actually have a navigation system to get to where you want to go in your life. And that's what I feel like you are for me, right? And, I think it just, you give me a real perspective on what actually matters in life, right? Because people get so caught up in their little battles with, and I do too, and like anyone else, you know, with he said this or she said that, or this person didn't pay me, or, you know, I forgot to send this email, whatever. And just having that daily kind of peek into your spiritual experience and what you do for a living, it makes me realize that there's, you know, a lot more things that matter than just, you know, the mundane day-to-day stuff.
Yeah. Cool. Love it. Mm. Well, thanks for coming on the pod. This was fun.
It
was a really good, deep combo. I love you too. Thanks for listening, everybody. And let us know what you thought. And if you want to hear from us together again, I think it would actually be really fun to have you come back and like have you, like, I get a bunch of questions, right? For these podcasts where people just ask questions and I answer them. But it would actually be really fun if you came on and you reverse interviewed me. So you asked me the questions and then I answered them. What do you think?
That'd be cool. Yeah, okay. I'd do that. Definitely.
All right, let's do it. All right, everybody. Well, we are off. We're going to go enjoy our Sunday evening. I'm going to have a turmeric latte. We're going to maybe watch some Gaia. We'll watch some alien stuff.
Alien stuff for sure.
Let's do it. Okay. Yeah. I love you. Thanks for coming on.
Love you, honey. Bye.
Bye.